Hello, everyone out there in podcast land. My name is Jessica, and you are listening to our newest episode of My Cancer Story podcast. Now, you may have noticed it's October already. Holy crap, how did that happen? But you also may have noticed it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and my first episode of Breast Cancer Awareness Month is an excellent episode. You're going to love this. It is a story of breast cancer. You're going to meet Jennifer. She's a breast cancer survivor of stage 2 triple negative breast cancer. But this is also a story of healing through service of others. Jennifer was diagnosed a little over 2 years ago, and she made something truly amazing of this diagnosis and survival story. It's a little bit nerdy on my end because my background's in sports medicine, and Jennifer is a certified cancer exercise specialist, personal trainer, as well as a BOSU breast cancer specialist. So we are going to talk shop about rehab, prehab, fitness, wellness, nutrition, and you are just going to learn so much from Jennifer today. So once again, kicking off Breast Cancer Awareness Month, everybody meet Jennifer. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Jennifer. Everyone out there in My Cancer Story podcast land, I have Jennifer Sposato with me. She is a breast cancer survivor. And also what really struck my interest with her is that she's a certified cancer exercise specialist, as well as a BOSU breast cancer specialist. And my background's in athletic training and sports medicine. So like that, like really piqued my interest. So thank you so much for joining me today, Jennifer. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really excited to do this.
I'm really excited to have you. It's going to be a really, really great relationship and partnership going forward. And then also, I'm so looking forward to hearing your story and how it evolved into what you do today.
Yeah.
So you've listened to my podcast before, and those who have listened to my podcast previously, it's more conversational. I'll let Jennifer take it away, tell her cancer story, and then we'll get more into the exercise side of things and just learn more about her and all the amazing things she's doing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. So I have been a personal trainer for the last, 13 years. All right. Yeah. Before that, I was a pharmacist.
Oh.
So yeah, I know.
That's very different.
little switch about, you know, age 40.
Why not? And,
you know, I'd always been an athlete, you know, in high school, and, you know, always have valued exercise. So even as my pharmacy, you know, I never liked it.
That's fair. I had taught
group fitness classes while I was a pharmacist. Mm-hmm. So the segue kind of made sense to me, mm-hmm. you know, that it's like, okay, I think that's what I really enjoy. And that's where I find my passion and the most, you know, the happiest time, mm-hmm. Is when I'm teaching group fitness. So that's when I made the choice. It's like, okay, I'm going to get my health coach certification. I'm going to do my personal training certification, and, you know, I'm just going to go for it. And I have not regretted it making the change. I mean, it's been absolutely awesome. I get to help people in the way that I wanted to,
mm-hmm.
you know, it kind of, pharmacy is so reactive.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're already sick and getting medicine.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to be more proactive.
Yeah.
So that's why I became a personal trainer.
I love that.
Yeah. So you know, it's like people that exercise are happy.
Right? You know?
They are.
Oh my gosh. You know, like before you continue, it reminds me of the Legally Blonde quote. I don't know if you know this, but like Elle Woods, she's defending this exercise instructor. She is like, mm-hmm. she couldn't have killed her husband. She exercises. Exercise creates endorphins. Happy people just don't kill their yeah. husbands. But it does create endorphins. It makes you so much happier. Yeah.
It helps your mood. Yeah. yeah. So that's how I kind of became a personal trainer. So I was diagnosed with breast cancer in June of 2019. So I had stage 2 triple negative. So immediate, I mean, it was so quick. It's like I had my diagnosis. 2 weeks later, I was getting my port. The next day I was starting chemo.
Wow.
You know, it was like whirlwind.
Yeah.
You know, and I went through chemo, and the best thing was I was never sick.
Really?
I continued to work. And I really think that was because of my behavior. You know, I had exercised regularly. I had good nutrition. So I was strong going into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that really made the difference for me. You know, and then once I finished chemo, there was absolutely nothing left of the tumor.
Wow.
It was completely gone. So the only surgery that I ended up having was to have the sentinel lymph node checked.
Okay.
And there was no cancer. So I had 6 more weeks of radiation just to be sure. And then I was done. So Valentine's Day of 2020.
Just in time.
And you know, the funny thing was too, was then, okay, 4 weeks later, we all shut down. Mm-hmm. So I thank goodness that all my treatment was done.
Yeah. You didn't
have to go all that.
Yeah.
You know, cause my heart went out to everybody, you know, because they couldn't have, you know, a guest with them to sit through chemo. Yeah. Because I know that was, I mean, even though I kind of slept and they gave me the Benadryl, I just kind of put me out.
Yeah.
And my husband was there for every single one.
Wow.
You know, so I know how, you know, needed that is to have somebody, you know, with you.
Yeah. It's a lonely situation as is. So
yeah.
Also my heart went out too for people going to doctor's appointments and chemo visits and everything alone. Mm-hmm. And even more isolating. That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just as I finished up, we shut down, mm-hmm. you know, which gave me a lot of time to think. It's like, okay, I kind of have a new look on life, you know, and everything that I went through and all the research I did on diet and, you know, what I should be doing, it just made sense that I needed to spread that information,
mm-hmm.
you know, turn my journey into something positive, you know, and try to, you know, I guess heal myself through the service of others. That's what I always tell people, you know.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's great to give back to those, you know, kind of what I learned as I went through my journey. You know, just the little things that I think the physicians and people forget to tell you. You know, the little things on, you know, they give you oral Benadryl or they give you IV Benadryl. I'm sitting in the chair dancing, my legs are restless. And the next time I brought a lacrosse ball and I'm rubbing my legs and
yeah.
I'm like, I was so uncomfortable. And the nurse comes up to me and she's like, you got jumpy legs. And I was like, yes, it's terrible. And she goes, oh yeah, that's the IV Benadryl. We'll give you oral next time. I'm like, okay, well, that would have been nice to know.
Thank you for telling me now.
Yeah. You know, but it's just like little stuff like that, you know, the ice, they have you hold ice in your mouth as they, infuse one of the chemo medications, cause it tends to cause mouth sores. So mm. if you have ice, the tendency is not to have the mouth sores. Mm. Ice at that time tasted yucky. It tasted metallic-y,
yeah.
And it didn't last. So I froze grapes.
Oh,
you know, so
smart.
I would put grapes in my cheeks like a chipmunk.
Yeah.
But it's just like little things like that, you know, is like, you know, they make a huge difference,
mm-hmm.
you know? So if collectively, if I could, you know, help people kind of get through their journey with like little tidbits like that,
yeah.
You know, it'd be great. Well, and then of course, you know, furlough and shutdown took longer.
Yeah.
than thought,
yeah.
you know, so I started, I'm like, well, I might as well work on some CEs,
yeah,
you know, and I found the Cancer Exercise Training Institute and I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. This is what I'm going to do.
Perfect.
So I went through her training program and the BOSU recovery, breast cancer specialty, and just developed my program from there. And I had called my manager, you know, as we were starting to talk about opening back up. And I said, you know, I think I might pigeonhole myself, but what do you think if I just worked with cancer patients and survivors? And he's like, do it. He's like, no, you won't. He's like, do it. I think that would be, you know, a perfect thing for you to do.
Yeah. And as like a specialty to offer, and that's right. not every gym or fitness studio has that opportunity. So for you to be able to have that service to give to them, I think is incredible.
Yeah. So it's been amazing. You know, it's like I went to our cancer center and talked with a couple of the board members and the nurse navigators, and they were all on board with what I was doing. And of course my oncologist was, and so it's just gone from there, working with some of our local cancer organizations and just donating sessions to their fundraisers.
I love that.
Just stuff like that has, you know, been just amazing. And the people that I've been able to meet have been amazing. Yeah. And I think it helps everybody. It helps me. It helps them. You know, when you can talk about similar things, it's like, okay, maybe I'm not crazy. You know, somebody else has that side effect too.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and, like paying it forward and having a conversation, I think, is important too. That's
absolutely
perfect. Yeah,
you know, it's somebody to bond with that has something similar to you, and you're going through the same thing.
Yeah,
and it really does start to be like, okay, am I crazy? Am these side effects that I'm having afterwards? Am I crazy?
Am I imagining this? What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like some of the strangest things. It's like. You know, that just, it's part of recovery and kind of the, you know, the continuation of those side effects that you got from chemo and radiation, just kind of weird stuff that popped up. And
yeah. And it goes along with those like little tips and tricks that you yourself figured out with the grapes and the lacrosse ball, and then, hey, getting the oral Benadryl as opposed to IV. So like being able to share that information too, and talk with amongst each other to have that camaraderie is helpful too. So they know going forward what they can do.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and even, you know, radiation really tightens up the muscles in the chest, but it's kind of a delayed reaction. It happens about 2 weeks afterwards.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it's like one day I can put my hand behind my head and the other day it's like,
you can't.
Okay.
Is it because they isolated the area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was just where the radiation would hit it, those chest muscles tend to tighten up.
Okay.
And, you know, of course we're shut down. So I'm like doing with what I have at home.
Yeah. Laying on your foam roller, coming up with open it up
stretches and, you know, using the foam roller and, you know, finally was like, okay, I think I need to go to physical therapy, you know? So, you know, I'm a big advocate for, you know, physical therapy. You know, and I tell them, you know, they usually come to me right after they've been cleared from the surgeon and they're so excited to get back started. I'm like, okay, we're going to look for signs that is beyond my scope, you know? So there's been a couple that I've had to send to physical therapy because I've seen some, you know, swelling or something like that, or, you know, that delayed response from the radiation. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, it's physical therapy time.
I appreciate that. I always appreciate when somebody is, I guess humble enough to know their limitations and know like where their expertise is, and it doesn't lie in a specific spot, and to be able to refer and just know like, hey, I'm not an expert at this point for this specific situation.
Yeah.
I'm going to forward you on to somebody else who can help you. Like you're not the end all be all. And I appreciate that because some people do have those big heads, whether they're a practitioner, a physical therapist, a allied professional, health professional, or like a personal trainer, exercise.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, I do appreciate the fact that you know enough where your limitations are. You're like, yes, I will refer you. I'm good.
I'm good. If I can't, if I can't fix it with a foam roller and a lacrosse ball and, you know, and I'm Graston certified too.
I want to do that. So, it's just so expensive.
Yeah. I mean, and I can do that, you know, but yeah. I would rather not in that situation. Yeah. You know, if it were, you know, a calf or, you know, a shoulder blade or, you know, something like that, I'm like, okay, I'll get my knife out and work on it. But when it's that and it's swelling and it's like, I don't know if it's the start of lymphedema or if it's the start of cording or.
Yeah, just because of the patient's history. Yeah.
Yeah. I would just rather, cause I've had cording, so I know what it looks like.
Uh-huh. Can you explain what cording is?
Cording is, it's a lymph vessel because you had lymph nodes removed. Mm-hmm. They think it's a lymph vessel that is starting to harden. Mm-hmm. So it goes under the surface and it's like, you can actually see, like, it almost looks like strings under the surface and you can feel it. Mm-hmm. And it can go all the way to the elbow and it can even go all the way to the wrist.
Oh, wow.
They don't know why it happens. It just happens. It's nothing that you have done wrong.
Okay.
But it's just that that lymph vessel isn't, it's not connected to a lymph node where it was, you know, so that's kind of how my surgeon explained it to me. He's like, yeah, it's nothing you did. He's like, cause I was confused because it just happened a couple weeks ago and I'm almost 2 years past.
2 years 30. Out. That's interesting.
And he's like, yeah, nope. It's like lymphedema. It can pop up anytime. It doesn't matter.
Is there like a treatment for it or can you get rid of it? Or is it like lymphedema where it can come and go?
It's basically some stretching and some mobilization of the tissue. I was able to get it without a lot of manual mobilization. I was able to do it with, you know, your foam roller and I've got a vibrating gun, the hyperbolic.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We got one too.
You know, so I was able to use those things and I was able to get it back down.
Okay.
Some people probably would need to go back to physical therapy and have some tissue mobilization done. Okay. I think I was lucky enough that I caught it early because I saw it.
Yeah.
And I saw it starting.
Yeah.
That I got ahead of it.
No, that's good. And with your background too, like kind of seeing something like, that's not normal. Let's just hop out in front of this thing instead of being like, oh, I'll just leave it. It'll be fine. Cause some people might let that happen.
It's like, oh, I can't stretch my arm.
Hey, oh, what about this? It's not going all the way straight. Yeah. So with everything you've been doing since you were certified, you're with Lifetime Fitness. Do you mostly work with Lifetime doing that, that cancer exercise specialist, or do you do anything on your own? You're saying like you donate like certain sessions for like auctions and stuff.
Yeah. I pretty much, stick to everything Lifetime and have everybody come through Lifetime. Mm-hmm. We have a great thing. Because of the pandemic and because people were afraid to come back into the club, they did create some rather cool things that I've kind of taken advantage of.
Okay.
That's really helped me is they developed a digital format.
That's
you
great.
Know, so I have a whole program, 12 weeks of chair workouts for people in treatment. And then I've got, I built out at least 16 weeks and I can build out more for rehab after surgery. And our digital format allows me to train anybody anywhere. They don't have to come into the club. I can do it I can train virtually. And it's $15 a month for the app.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
and they can they can do it anywhere. So I have people that do my program at a YMCA. I have them do it at Anytime Fitness, whatever's close to their house. Mm-hmm. I've trained people virtually. I have one client that's out of Colombia.
Wow. You know,
yeah. So it's allowed me to kind of expand, you know, my doors.
Yeah.
You know, beyond Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah. And that's incredible. I would say that's one of the silver linings from the pandemic is how much we were able to evolve through virtually, like whether it was meetings, working from home, doing like virtual workouts and gyms and everything like that. I think that's really cool that Lifetime expanded to that. And I think that's a really great tool to have, even just going forward.
It allows people to be comfortable in their home. If they have equipment and they just want guidance, you know, then, you know, that we have, they made videos of some of our signature classes. So if somebody wants to take one of our yoga classes at their house, they can. You know, it's just, it's fabulous. And it especially helps, you know, cancer patients that, you know, immunity is low. They really shouldn't be in the club. I know the only time I had to take time off when I was going through chemo was like last 2 weeks of the, well, they call it the Red Devil. it's literally red.
I've heard about this. Yes.
Yes. It's literally red.
Oh my God.
Because it dropped my white blood cells at that point.
Okay. So you
nothing
be exposed and like, to,
I know you feel okay and you want to work, but no, I'm not going to let you go in the gym without, I mean, the immune system.
Yeah.
So
that's, that, and that's crazy. Like, I'm not sure if you had said already, how many rounds of chemo and radiation did you ultimately do?
I ended up doing 10 weeks.
Okay.
I didn't do, it was supposed to be 12. I ended early because one, we couldn't even feel the lump anymore. And I was starting to get the neuropathy.
Okay.
So she was just like, I think you've had enough. And I'm like, I think so too.
It works for me.
Yeah. Okay. Being done 2 weeks early.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So yeah, it, yeah. Once it started going to my fingers a little bit, then she's like, yeah, nope, we're done.
So that's a common side effect that can happen.
Okay. Yep. With one of the drugs, Taxol.
Okay.
It can cause the neuropathy and it can go to your hands and your feet.
Okay. Oh. That's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Thinking about the tingling.
Yeah. Once it got, cause it started like the very tips of my fingers and it's since gone.
I was going to ask if it stayed or left.
It's still a little in my feet. It's lifting. It's like just in like my toes.
Okay.
But otherwise, you know, it does get better, but you have to work at it. You know, either physical therapy will help you out. And they do basically do Graston on your feet.
Okay.
To stimulate the nerves.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Like nerves are the slowest to regenerate and everything, like trying to get them stimulated.
You know, that makes ultrasound sense. And some Graston, they'll do that. And then you just work on, you know, just different, textures of your feet, you know, kind of, carpet and, you know, spiky balls and, you know, that will help start getting the nerves back.
Okay. That's interesting. I hadn't heard of that. And it kind of all cycles back through to like physical therapy and exercise and like actually like an exercise specialist type situation. And it just kind of comes full circle for you to do what you do. I think that's, it's really amazing that like you utilized, quarantine and lockdown to get this specialty certification and just to, you know, help other people, that ripple effect that we've talked about before. And with that, like, I guess like, is it kind of like learning as you go? Because like, for me, it's like thinking about, you know, every person's different. When I think about rehab as an athletic trainer, like every individual athlete is different based on their history and, you know, previous surgeries and all these things. Like what kind of timeline do you recommend for like somebody coming out of cancer treatment, like returning to activity? Like it's a slow buildup, of course. Like, do you have like a specific, I guess, recipe that you typically follow for them to get moving again and
progressing
everything?
Yeah, it is a progression and it, you know, a lot of people are gung ho and they want to get back to what they like. But, you know, when I tell them that, you know, what your body has been through, the stress of everything, you know, we need to be careful.
Yeah.
You know, it's your body is trying to now, like, I guess, purge all this yuck, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so we need to be careful. Mm-hmm. We need to be careful what we do, you know, if we do too much too fast, then your risk for lymphedema or, you know, hurting yourself, mm-hmm. you know, and plus a lot of people are still have that chronic fatigue.
Yeah.
You know, so we still want to, we want to work slow, you know? So a lot of times we go through a lot of stretching and a lot of movement without weight first.
That's good.
You know, and then once they have the range of motion, like for breast cancer, you know, making sure they have that range of motion in their shoulders, you know, because mm-hmm. I won't do anything pressing. So no chest yeah. pressing, no overhead pressing, you know, for several weeks until I know that those muscles are working properly. We're firing the right muscles. We're not overusing, you know, muscles that are kind of taking over.
Okay.
You know, so it's a process, and that's what I tell people. It's like, just be patient, you know, yeah. I will get you there.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I just simply tell them your body's been through so much, yeah. you know, stress. And if I stress it too much, then we're going to have stress on stress on stress, and that's not good.
Yeah. Well, we're very much a society of that instant gratification. Like we want it yesterday. And like the fact
it's
that,
like, okay, I gained weight during chemo. Yeah. I want to get it off now. Okay. Let's heal first.
Yeah. Your body's doing a very good job of healing right now. Let's let it do its thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's heal first. And then, you know, then we can progress and then we'll work on the weight.
Yeah.
You know, but we got to get to the point where your body is happy again.
Absolutely. And that's like, that goes along with the understanding of inflammation and like the whole,
yeah.
the cycle of how everything goes. Yeah,
absolutely. It's like, I don't want to create, there's already yeah. tons of inflammation there. I'm yeah. not going to create anymore.
No, let's not do that. Yeah. Well, that's really, that's cool to know. And then that's what, you know, you've always, I guess, practice what you preach. You preach that, you've known that in the past, and then applying that for what you're doing now with your current clientele. Do you work, like, you know, kind of talking about that, the whole cycle, the pain cycle, the inflammatory cycle and everything like that. Do you work directly with these, the clients' doctors? Do you have any sort of, I guess, a connection with them based off like what they're cleared to do and what they're not cleared to do?
Yeah, I can. Most of them will come to me after, you okay. know, they've been cleared.
Okay.
And it's so funny because several of them have used the same surgeon that I have.
Oh, that's funny.
So it's funny because it's just like, you know, last time I saw my surgeon, I'm like, yeah, I think I have four of you clients. And he's like, well, good.
Oh, that's awesome. Small world.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, since I, you know, I know him, it's like, and he knows me, I'm pretty okay with, you know, his clients. I know what he'll want.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, for people that are in treatment, I'll have them do a medical release just so okay. that their doctors are know that, okay, I know they're still in chemo, but they want to do something.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do, you know, and just let them know that this, you know, workouts are less than 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's low intensity. It's, you know, I tell them it's like, okay, if you don't have weights at home, you know, then use soup cans or,
okay, yeah.
you know, water bottles, you know, whatever you got at home. It doesn't matter. You don't even have to use anything at all. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, I keep it easy and it's like, you know, only do what your body will allow you to.
Yeah.
You know, and I also tell them, you know, not to work out 24 hours after chemo.
Okay.
You know, just because we don't want any arrhythmias.
Okay.
You know, certain chemo drugs can be cardiotoxic. So we don't want to do any exercise 24 hours after an infusion, just to make sure that that's not going to happen.
Yeah. And these are all like really good things to know. Like, mm-hmm. Holy crap. That's, it's like you're a wealth of knowledge. So that's it's really good to know. You're like a crafty veteran. And this is like, I'm sure people who are going through this know these things, but like just for like an outsider looking in and hearing these, it's just like things that I didn't necessarily think about. And these are all good things to know when mm-hmm. you're covering, you're going through chemo, and if you're exercising at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah. You just like, you're a crafty veteran.
Well, the thing I like to spread is that we should continue to exercise during mm-hmm. chemo. You know, that's the best thing for us, which it seems counterintuitive. And most oncologists aren't going to tell you to exercise.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, we know that exercise boosts mood. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to help with circulation. It's going to help with the cognitive aspect of chemo and that brain fog. Mm-hmm. Going to help with fatigue. We keep lean muscle. You know, the medication is going to work better. We can control weight as much as we can.
Yeah.
It has just all sorts, you know, your recovery afterwards is going to be better as well.
Yeah. Starting, especially like what you're saying, starting from your personal experience, starting on the front end, having that good baseline going mm-hmm. into it, did you so many favors and doing it well, does you favors as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm by no means, you know, where I was, you know, before chemo, you know, I'm still a work in progress, but, you know, I have found things like Pilates Reformer.
Mm.
You know, that has helped me immensely with range of motion.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of that I try to take and mimic it on the floor with resistance bands,
mm-hmm.
You know, because I know how much that, you know, the reformer helped me.
Yeah.
And I know if people are kind of on a budget and they can't afford me one-on-one, you know, I'll encourage them. Okay. What I want you to do is I want you to do Pilates.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit different price point and you're still getting somebody watching you.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, like the, basically the ideation and the evolution of Pilates, I did a Pilates certification during lockdown. So, but like, hey, you know, making the most of our time. Yeah. I got to keep that brain moving. And so like, you know, Joseph H. Pilates inventing it. He was working with soldiers in World War II while they're stuck in bed. So it's like a physical therapy background. So it makes complete sense why physical therapists use it. And then also for like that corrective exercise and, and, you know, like you're saying, getting your range of motion back. And it's just, it's, I see like no negatives for Pilates and
it works
wonders.
Absolutely. And I encourage, you know, my clients, you know, to do it, like I said, in conjunction with me, or if, you know, it's gotten to the point where it's like, okay, I can't afford you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know my Pilates instructors are amazing. So I trust that they know, you know, they will, you know, have kid gloves with my, you know, my cancer patients. So
yeah, they definitely do too. Like it's really impressive for like every Pilates instructor that I've worked with too. They're very cognitive of injuries and movement patterns and what limitations people have and others that don't. And they're very good at finding modifications and options, which I think is really important.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, with everything, like you kind of touched on it, you're still kind of, you know, recovering like 2 years later and working on and getting back to you and full health and everything post-cancer, post-chemo, post-radiation.
Yeah.
You said how everything happens so quickly coming out the other side, like still kind of like even 2 years later, what have you done to unpack the trauma, the situation of it. How have you been, dealing with everything that has happened and how have you gone forward with it?
Mm-hmm. Well, because of the shutdown and being alone a lot, you know, because my whole family were still working except for me, it gives you too much time to think. Too much time by yourself, you know? So I end up going to a therapist, you know, just to get over that, because it's like, you're so rigid going through treatment. It's like, okay, every Friday I have chemo, you know, it's like every, you know, I have a doctor's office here, doctor's appointment there, doctor appointment here. It's so rigid. And then it's almost like in the, you know, radiation, they're like, bye.
Okay. Kick you out.
Okay. What do I do now? You know, and it was that, okay, so how do I keep this away? Yeah. You know, and in my head, I knew, you know, it's like, okay, keep doing, you know, eating well mm-hmm. and exercising, but you still have that fear of it reoccurring. It's like, okay, when is it going to come back? Mm-hmm. You know, and how are we going to catch it? And there's all these questions that, you know, run through your head. It's like, okay, do I not use the microwave anymore? You know,
all these things. Yes.
You know, all these things. Yeah. And, you know, it does get overwhelming, mm-hmm. you know, so, you know, having a therapist that's trained, you know, to talk to cancer patients, which we did have, was awesome because basically she put those fears to rest.
That's awesome.
You know, and I think creating this program, you know, like I said, you know, your healing is through the service of others. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think I healed by sharing my story, you know, and reassuring that, you know, that's normal. You should be feeling that way. You know, that's not something unique to you. That's common, you know, it kind of repeating that stuff kind of start. Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe I should take my own advice. You know, but I mean, it is a big, you know, it's a fear and it's something to, you know, especially with triple negative, mm-hmm. you know, it's not estrogen based, it's not progesterone based. So there's not a pill they can give you like an estrogen blocker or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so you just kind of are in a waiting game. You know, the nice thing with triple negative is that after 5 years, it's basically there's very, very slim chance of it coming back.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those ones, you know, as my surgeon had said, it's going to come back quick if it's going to come back.
Okay.
Which is different than some of your others. So, you know, but still it's like sometimes having that estrogen, you know, it's just that little research, you know, that little help.
Yeah. Just knowing that there's a little pill or something that can block things from growing.
Right. Exactly. And you know, me, it's just, you know, okay, every 6 months, you know, go have your mammogram and your MRI.
Yeah. Now, originally, did it come on quick too? Like, were you getting regular mammograms
was in between.
Okay. So it was kind of quick.
Yeah. I found it.
Okay.
And it just happened to be that I had my annual gynecology exam. Mm-hmm. I pointed it out to my doctor and I was like, you know, what do you think of this thing? And she's like, yeah, I don't like it.
Me either.
I don't like it. Let's check that out. You know, so yeah, it was in between. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, my surgeon had said that, you know, it's one of those ones that's a fast growing, that it probably wasn't there, you know, 4 months
skin.
When I had my mammogram.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, it's due diligence to do those self exams.
Yeah, it's important. I definitely have to like get on myself more about that, doing the self exam.
Yeah, you know, and I told my, you know, my friends and everything. It's just like, okay, get those mammograms on time.
It's important. Yeah,
they're important.
Yeah,
you know, that in between time too. You know, just you make sure that you know what your breasts feel like.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good point because like with, I had thyroid cancer and with my thyroid, like it was slow, so slow that I just mm-hmm. always thought that's what my neck looked like. I needed to pay more attention to my body and to know how I felt and to know what feels right and what doesn't feel right. So that's mm-hmm. perfect advice right there. Get to know what your breasts look like and feel like.
Well, and the same with like, I had a Hodgkin's. That's very slow growing. you know, and that's lymph nodes.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, again, it's like, okay, if you have something, you know, under your arm, you know, your armpit, there's a lump there. I mean, you know, males, you know, it's like, okay, check your armpits, you know, have a lump there.
Yeah. That's probably
not supposed to be there.
It's supposed to be there. No, it's how long ago did you have Hodgkin's?
I didn't. I had a
you had client. Somebody with it. Okay. I was like, ah, yeah, I had a what? Client. Oh, sorry. I misunderstood. I was like, geez, why didn't we even talk about this?
No, with Hodgkin's.
With Hodgkin's. Got it. Feel the armpit. Got it.
Right. That starts here and it starts growing down. So that's how they stage it as to how far it's down the torso.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. So starting at the neck, you know, it's like you start feeling stuff underneath here, you know, it's the same, those lymph nodes, they filter a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they do.
You know, so it's like making sure that those lymph nodes, you know, it's like you got a lump in your neck underneath your arms. That's not going away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a check. Check it out.
Absolutely. And that's really important advice too. Get regular checkups, do all these things. Yeah. That being said, with everything that we've talked about, what would your key takeaways for our conversation or from what you've learned along the way that you would like to bestow upon us other than what we've already talked about? Cause there's like little sprinkles throughout the conversation. But like definitely like take home advice for people who are listening here.
I just say, don't let your health go to waste.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't matter what it is, you know, it could be you could need a hip replacement, a knee replacement. You could get diagnosed with high blood pressure, but the biggest thing is like, are you healthy enough to recover from it? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, if I'm 50 pounds overweight and I need a knee replacement, how is physical therapy going to be after, you know, that knee replacement?
Yeah.
You know, it would be a lot better if I at least had some sort of, you know, health behind me.
Yeah. Going into it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with a cancer diagnosis. You know, if you are healthy going into it, you're stronger and you're able to, you know, to handle it better. You know, less sick days, less, you know, fatigue, you know, you probably would be able to, you know, continue to work, you know, people that, you know, I guess abuse their health, you know, and don't, you know, don't take care of themselves are going to have a harder time, you know, with that kind of stuff. So it's like, again, like I talked about pharmacy being so reactive, we need to be more proactive with our health because you just never know. You know, what's going to happen to you.
That's true.
You know, it's like, take care of yourself. You know, it's recommended, you know, to exercise 150 minutes a week, you know, get out. That's 30 minutes, 5 days a week. You know, take a walk.
That's so little. I feel like
it does. Yeah, it seems so like easy. So little.
Yeah.
But you know, so many people are so sedentary and stuck behind a desk that, you know, we just don't. We don't do 30 minutes of something, a walk, go ride a bike, you know, anything. You know, go take the dog for a walk.
Yeah.
You know, go run around with your kids in the yard. But do something for 30 minutes every day, you know, and then, you know, eat fruit and vegetables. Drink water.
Eat real food.
Real food, you know?
Yeah.
You know, just those, just the simple things. Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, like I said, it doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah.
You know, but just do those little things and your health will be so much better.
1,000%. So, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So it's just be proactive.
That's perfectly put. That's great advice. It seems like very like, I guess like a simple piece of advice, but it's harder said than, or easier said than done.
Right.
So
right.
I think for people to really take their health into their own hands and do that, you can do it. It's not too hard.
You can do it.
Yeah.
And I always tell people start with one habit at a time.
That's
You know, do it simple, something, a habit that you can have success with.
Yeah.
Because you know, the way our brains work, we can't, and I always explain this at the, you know, New Year's Eve. or, you know, the new
year. Your New Year's resolutions.
People go gung-ho and try to do exercise, nutrition, you know, everything at one time. Well, our brains don't work like that. You know, it's the same thing at work. You know, if you're given 10 projects, are each project going to be 100%? No, they're not. But if you can start with one thing and work on that one thing, you're going to have more success. You're going to feel more confident because you're going to have success with that one thing. And then it's like a trickle down effect. Mm-hmm. You know, you drink more water, you seem to have more energy. You're sleeping better at night. You know, so it's like, okay, I'm getting more sleep. I feel like I have more energy. I'm going to go take a walk.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that kind of trickle down, you know, you start one thing and it leads to another and another and another before you're not even thinking about it.
Yeah. It's just your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's perfect. That's great advice. And for those who are listening out there, like you don't, like Jennifer's saying, you don't have to do everything at once because you'll like kill yourself. Like you'll be unhappy and it's not worth it. And then you'll just revert back to old habits. And the one thing at a time is what I learned. I did a nutrition certification like years ago. And that was one of their things. Like, don't try to change everything at once. Like just have another glass of water a day. Start with that. So
I think that's easy things to have success and build your confidence.
I love that. That's so good. Well, with that, Jennifer, thank you so much for all this like wealth of information and sharing your story. Is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you would like to add?
You know, like I said, I'm such a big advocate for, you know, just being healthy, you know, and whatever that looks like to you.
Okay.
No, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be this high performance CrossFit athlete. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be that, you know, heck, you know, I can do a, you know, a 5K, you know, and not feel like I'm going to die afterwards. I mean, if that, you know, that it could be healthy for you. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, most people would wish for that.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, it's just, be healthy, you know, take care of yourself.
Yeah. That's a great take home message. And hopefully those out there who are listening, hear it and, you know, love themselves and be healthy with themselves. And kind of what you're saying is the comparison aspect. I know a lot, especially in this day and age with technology, it's so easy to compare ourselves to others on social media or magazines, whatever it is. And it's just like, be your healthy, and you don't have to look like the models. You don't have to look like the Olympians because they train like millions of hours.
Yeah.
So it's just like, do what feels good for you. If running hurts you, don't run, figure something out, go swim or do something
there's
else.
There's nothing wrong with walking.
Yeah. There's nothing.
Oh
my
gosh. I am not a runner.
I'm not a runner. It hurts my knees.
Yeah. So I was going to say, no, it just hurts too bad.
I know. No, walking, I can get my heart rate up
walking. Is fine. Yep. Walking Agreed. Is just fine.
Agreed. Well, with everything that we've talked about, like, I'm so thankful for having you on today. How can people find you? Because I'm sure people are wanting to learn more from you and your practice and all of your teachings and knowledge. So where can we find you?
So I have my Instagram is Hope Moves You.
That's great.
And that's also my Facebook page too. Hope Moves You.
Okay,
otherwise, you know, you could probably find my bio on the Lifetime Fitness website.
Okay.
But probably the best way to get a hold of me is through Instagram or Facebook.
Okay, perfect. And I'll make sure to add the links to the episode notes and on my posts on Instagram so people can find you. And I just like, I kind of am at a loss for words. Thank you so much for all the information. Like this was a really fun talk because it was kind of like more up my alley with fitness and personal training and, you know, like rehab and physical therapy. So like just being able to hear what you have learned along the way and what you have done with your diagnosis and recovery, I think is incredible. You paint it forward to others that are going through it currently and on the other side as well. So Jennifer, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate having you today.
Oh, thank you. This was so much fun. I very much enjoyed it.
Oh, me too. Me too. I'm so glad to have you. And I really hope you enjoy the rest of your day over in Iowa. It's probably evening time now, but enjoy the rest of your day. And I look forward to connecting with you soon again.
Yeah, absolutely.